moving swiftly along. There's a person sitting across the table from me. Dr. Ella McCabe is her name. And the first question I want to ask you, Dr. Ella McCabe, are you sick as a parrot that you're not in Japan?
Well, myself and my father are going to go for a little visit as fans ourselves for
a week.
Oh, are
you?
Yeah, yeah, in a few weeks' time.
Because so. Tell me your role within that world.
So I work for Rugby Players Ireland. We're the Players Association. And I suppose we've lots of different roles, but one of my main ones is managing our mental health service. So in the men and women's game, right from sub-academy up to past players, I support players' mental health.
Oh, talk me through that. Why would they need that? And the other question is, would they not be afraid that somebody would look at them as weak? Now, I'm not recommending that anybody should, but that they mightn't pick them.
Sure. So I suppose, why might they? They're people first and foremost, and like any of us, stresses can build up. We can feel overwhelmed and we can experience mental health symptoms. So I think they've any right as much as any of us to have a hard time, and I think it's about acknowledging that and supporting that. In terms of the stigma piece, it's that they, in terms of the stigma piece, it's maybe that they, there certainly can be times when players might be reluctant to show their difficulties or show their distress. We find it, say, in terms of the expression of depression, in standard practice, you might see it in someone's workplace. There might be some absenteeism. For professional players, sometimes they'll actually hide their symptoms in work, in the rugby environment.
Yeah.
And I mean, coaches.
I can understand that.
Sure. I mean, their priority is to get selected to appear pitch fit and pitch ready. So there can be a reluctance to show those vulnerabilities there.
Yeah, I think it was very interesting talking about number 10s, you know, and we've all our hopes pinned on our number 10s that have gone out. But it's very stressful. Now, I used to think just doing it was the stressful thing, but it's looking over your shoulder.
Sure.
I mean, Johnny Sexton had said at some stages, which sounds so bizarre, that he kind of hated playing for Ireland. Sure. Tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. Well, I think, again, like you said, in terms of looking over the shoulder, selection pressures are a reality for players all the time. Even in their provinces, week on week, they may get hired or fired. And I don't think that's something the rest of us have to contend with on such a regular basis.
Yeah.
I think in the game today as well, the role of social media, it's so much more pervasive these days. There can be negative comments on the Instagram, on the Twitter, across all these different forms. So maybe getting a break from the game or getting some headspace from the game is tougher.
Right. And, I mean, it's a short career, really. I mean, Brian O'Driscoll, you thought he was there forever and he's moved on. You put a lot of emphasis on persuading people to consider what they're going to do afterwards.
Absolutely. It's a huge, huge part of our role. We invest most of our resources in a preventative sense and in a proactive sense of saying to players, look, the more you can do while you're still playing to set yourself up well for after the game and also to develop interests while you're still playing. So you're much more than just a rugby player. You've so many different strings to your bow. And we actually surveyed our players recently and 96% of them said that having an interest outside of the game was good for their game because actually it meant they got to step away from it for a moment, get a better perspective,
right,
put their energies into something different.
Right. And if you take that kind of competitiveness, the one that we know about because he was honest about it, between Ron Nogara and Johnny Sexton. I presume that happens in all roles there. And how do you cope with that?
Sure. I think the vast majority, or maybe all these players, have such a hunger to play that's one of the biggest driving forces for them. So the deselection, the most frustrating part about that for them is not getting on that pitch, not getting to show their skills, to get their big performances in. So I think it's a reality they've been dealing with on a weekly basis since early in their career. So they have developed quite a resilience to it. But I think maybe using their natural support systems, using the family and friends around them, having balance, having other things going on so it's not their only focus, I think really supports them.
Yeah, because not getting selected, I mean, it's the same in Gaelic, it's the same in anything else, except I suppose that they are so focused because they're professionals.
Sure, sure. I think it's as you said, it's the same across the board, but their focus is one of the things we work with them on is as I said, not over focusing in that one space, trying to keep some balance and keep some other areas going at the same time.
What kind of areas?
So it could be, a lot of them would be studying alongside playing. A lot of them would be maybe some especially when you look at some of the women, they might have two or three, they might own or run two or three businesses alongside playing. So I suppose just like any of us, if we were only working all the time, we wouldn't have much to talk about. We wouldn't have, all our worries would be concentrated in one space.
We could talk about rugby all the time, or Gaelic, which we will be talking about fairly shortly with Des as well, because there's such an obsession with it. Tell me about Dean Rock, the Dublin footballer. You don't have that right. He apparently took it upon himself to improve his kicking game as he wasn't getting selected. So he spoke to top rugby players, to golfers, to all sorts of people to help him with that. Do they go outside to get that kind of drive?
Sure.
And motivation. If you're not being selected and not being selected and not being selected, like, how do you get your mojo back?
Sure. With the professional players that I've been around, there has never been, or there's very rarely been a problem with motivation. They tend to be so, so hungry to get on that pitch. But certainly if there's been weeks and weeks and weeks where they haven't been selected, the motivation can flag.
Yeah. Or if they have an injury.
Absolutely. And I think around injuries, what we've seen is players are learning from each other. They're picking role models within the squad who've maybe had a year-long injury, looking at how they coped, talking to them, asking them for advice, and realising that, you know, if they're not going to get to release their competitive spirit on the pitch, can they turn their rehab into a competition? Can they kind of reward themselves if they manage 100 reps or run 100 metres or get back playing?
Right.
So they find ways to channel what they can control,
yeah,
and to meet their own needs off the pitch in whatever ways they can.
In whatever way they can. Was there a great sense, or tell us a bit about the preparation for a big tournament now like the World Cup?
Sure. So I suppose for players it can be, There's obviously the performance-based preparation. Off the pitch, the pieces that we'd be hoping they'd focus on is getting all their ducks in a row in terms of the rest of their life. Having maybe a lot of them are in college, so they might take the semester off and return to their studies afterwards. The preparation piece is so individual in terms of from a mental front.
Yeah.
It absolutely depends what's going on in their life at that time. Like for anyone, if they were going away with work for 2 months,
yeah,
they might be leaving young children behind and having to set up things at home that make that work. And what we found is as well, there's some players that going away to the intensity of a camp or a big tournament is absolutely a stressor, and they feel all those pressures. For others, going to a camp is, there's nearly a sense of release and relief with that, because they can just put themselves into one environment. It simplifies things. You're in one environment, you throw yourself into that.
Yeah.
And it's actually when they come out of it on the other side and after the tournament that maybe they need the extra support, because they have to confront all the messiness of life and all the various
right.
parts of life.
Yeah, yeah, that they weren't having their hands held through it. When are you going?
I'm going for the Samoa game and the quarters.
Right. Mm. Down for it?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, and your hopes?
Oh, Ireland all the way, yeah.
All the way?
All the way, sure, why not?
Oh, right, okay. That was Dr. Ella McCabe, Senior Clinical Psychologist. Very interesting how you cope with all of these things. Ella, thank you very, very much indeed.